Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Lord, we're thankful we can come together and rejoice in you and hear from your word, Lord. We thank you what you've done for us. We thank you that you love us more than we could ever imagine. So God, we just give you thanks, and I pray this morning you would be our teacher and give us a little insight here. There'd be an encouragement, Lord, and even as we go through hard times, difficult times, knowing that you have a great reward for us and through you. And so we just thank you for that, God. So I just pray you'd anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, and Lord, each person's heart would be open to receive. And so we just give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to start off this morning looking at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. It says this: "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." The title of the message is Finish Line, and it's the whole thing about, you know, there is a point in our lives, there is a finish line. We're going to cross over that finish line when we go to be with the Lord. There's a time coming, and we'll see him face to face. And what I want to look at this morning is just kind of as we think about that, and we realize that we are in this, we'll call it a race, but you know, a race towards him and towards the finish line, is that when we to really understand the finish line, we need to understand, you know, the race. Okay, what is the race? What race are we in? And the Bible and the Bible really reveals to us all we need to know about God, and all we need to know what he's going to do. It's all contained in the scriptures. And so we have an incredible privilege of having the Bible there, and it tells us, you know, to study to show yourself approved, and it, you know, it continues to renew your mind. And so the Lord is teaching us the things of him. And as we look at this verse here in the Old Testament, is that with this verse we see that the Jews had this verse, and they would read it. But in the Old Testament, and that's all they had was the Old Testament, they couldn't put the pieces together. Now they knew a Messiah was coming, we saw God do great things, but they couldn't put all the pieces together. And the Bible tells us, and Scripture tells us, and we know from history, they studied the Bible intently, the Old Testament Jews, to understand what was coming, but they couldn't put it together. They couldn't put it together. And then we see even as Jesus' disciples were with him, even to the point where he was taken up into heaven, that the disciples had more information that Jesus revealed to them, but they still couldn't put all the pieces together. They couldn't put it together. And then we find out that it wasn't, and then we see that it wasn't until after Jesus' resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost that all the pieces came together where we could understand it. All right, so he's given us through the scriptures, now we can understand it. But again, it wasn't until after Jesus' resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that we could fit these pieces together. And so now what we have in our hands now is the Bible, okay? This is the completed puzzle, you know, so it's all there, right? Everybody happy about that? You think, man, this is still pretty hard to look at, but no, it's all there. It's all here, and that's the reason we're told to study to show ourselves approved. It's told, you know, that we are to spend time with the Lord and understand what he's doing, to spend time in the Word. So since we have in our hand the Bible, the full revelation of God, then we know that we have all the puzzle pieces, okay? There's not going to, when Jesus returns, he's not going to give us another puzzle piece. Okay? He says, you've got it. You've got it here. And so it's important, I think, that we pay attention to this. And so when I was thinking about that, it's like the finish line. Okay, we need to pay attention to what the race is so we can participate in the race and so that we persevere to that finish line, you know, in this life, okay? That we can keep our eyes focused on Jesus and don't let the things of the world weigh us down. Amen? Of course, I can't imagine anybody being weighted down. Things of the world, you know, it's like, oh, but God saying, no, no, you keep your eyes on Jesus, the finish line, and he wants us to encourage that through the Word of God. And again, we have all the puzzle pieces. Now, what I wanted to do here is just kind of touch on a few of the pieces, puzzle pieces, to show how God unfolds that and reveals it and gives us those puzzle pieces and be an encouragement to us, and so that we can run our own race and, you know, persevere to that finish line. And so the one that just in this section in Isaiah chapter 11, if you go back a few verses, we see a few chapters in Isaiah 7:14, and it talks about there the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is given 800 years before Jesus was born, and the Jews are looking at this, and so they see it, and they understand that it speaks of a Messiah, but they couldn't put it together. They couldn't put it together, and that's the reason, you know, we celebrate Christmas, you know, Jesus' birth. They didn't understand it. Because the puzzle pieces weren't there. Even though it happened, they couldn't understand it. It wasn't clear to them what was going on. And so there was still some uncertainty. So as we look at this, how all these several puzzle pieces are necessary to understand, and we will just look at one thing, the virgin birth. So we have in Isaiah 7:14, it says this, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Okay, and of course we could read past that, but that word means, Emmanuel means God with us. So right there, the Old Testament scholars, they'll say, okay, the virgin's going to, you know, have a son, okay, bear a son, and you're going to call him God with us. So they've got a piece here, but they couldn't get their arms around what that truly meant, all right? So we see that, and so as they read and study the Old Testament, you see, well, they'll come here to what we just read in chapter 11, still having with the virgin birth, you know, spoken to them there. And then they see here, well, it's also a shoot. It's a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Now that's, aren't you glad you know that, okay? It's a shoot from the stump of Jesse. And so now they have some more information that they didn't have before. Virgins, bear a son, God with us. It's from a stump, a shoot from the stump of Jesse. And so that they see that, okay, they have a piece of, they knew this is what's happening, okay? They have it, but it's still a big mystery. Well, it's not until the New Testament, Matthew, when we get the genealogy of Jesus and the introduction, and this thing starts being clarified. Now it's being clarified at the appearance of Jesus. And I just pulled this together. I didn't want to read the whole genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, so I just pulled out a few verses here. You look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 16, and it says this. It's going through the genealogy. It says, Obed, the father of Jesse. See, it's the father of Jesse. There is, you know, it's coming out of the stump of Jesse. Okay, it's kind of like, you look at a stump, it's like a dead tree, you know, and the shoot comes up. Okay, that's what I mean. And even if you think about it, that Israel, the Messiah is going to come through this country of Israel that was devastated after this time, like two times, just totally devastated, and now is under the oppression of the Romans. So it's not a tree, big tree, like, you know, if you were to represent a big country. It's this kind of, it's just a stump. But out of that stump, a shoot comes. And it's out of the stump of Jesse. So you have Israel, but now you have the family of Jesse. And so these pieces are falling together. And then in Matthew says, Obed, the father of Jesse. Jews. And Jesse, the father of King David. And then a lot of them say, okay, the Messiah is going to be just like David, just King David. It's going to be a reincarnation of David, you know, because there you have King David coming from Jesse. But God tells David, said, no, there's your offspring, David, is going to come. And so we see this through, that Jesse, the father of David, the king, and then we go on through, and then we have Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born. Now, going through all of that is just to think, well, what we have here is the Bible told us exactly what was going to happen. We had all the puzzle pieces. You ever have one of those thousand, you know, piece puzzles, you know, and you go and you start off. Now, what do? Start with the middle piece and just work around the middle piece? No, you get the corners, you know, you try.
I mean, if you have any hope of finishing it, you get the corners, okay? And then you get the, you know, the straight sides, and you try to build the frame. You know, and this is what the Bible is doing. It says, I'm giving you the corners, you know, but you can't see the picture with the corners. Well, now I've got the sides, and I still can't see the picture, but you're framing. I see this thing unfolded. Well, this is what Jesus, this is what God did with the Old Testament. And then when he pulled them all together in the New Testament, all the pieces were given like in the Old Testament, and he pulls them together in the New Testament, and you go, oh, okay, oh, then you see this. But again, it wasn't until Jesus' resurrection, he ascended into heaven, and Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, that they started putting it together, that the puzzle pieces were put together. And so anyway, the whole point here was just to show you, it was all there. It's like, golly, just, you know, woke up one morning and, you know, says, Jesus is going to be a virgin, and that's cool. Nobody's ever heard of this before. And, you know, and just kind of make up a story as you go. Like, well, that's not what happened. It was laid out very systematically. And we look in the Bible and we find it all through it. It's laid out. Because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's not clearly laid out. Right? Therefore, study to show yourself approved. We got the full revelation here. We have the full revelation here. So with that this is what God's doing. So to have a finish line, we've got to understand the race. You say, oh, man, God's got this laid down. I'm a chugging, and I'll make that finish line because he has it laid out. He's already, you know, again, I'm going to repeat. The fact that I don't understand it doesn't mean it's not laid out. See, that's the thing about it. So you look at this. So what we want to do now, we have that principle. Well, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, with New Testament information. Okay, this was 800 years before the birth of Christ. But now we have this New Testament revelation. We have all the pieces together. So now we look at the whole picture, okay? The puzzle's together, and we're reading Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, there shall come forth a shoot. Okay, a little spring. You know what that shoot? That's Jesus. There will come forth a shoot. Jesus is going to come from this stump, this hopeless devastation, where there doesn't seem any possibilities can work. There's going to come this shoot. There's going to come this shoot from the stump of Jesse. We see where Jesse fits in. And a branch. And through Isaiah, you see this where he'll use the word term branch for the Messiah, for Jesus. So this branch, Jesus, from the roots shall bear fruit. Now this should help us about our life, okay? Because sometimes we feel like, I feel like a dead stump. You know, it's like, what in the world can the Lord do with this situation? What can the Lord do? And then the shoot comes up. Shoot. And from that shoot and all those roots within, and grows up to be the tree that God intended. So we can say that about our lives. So it looks like we're on this dead stump, but out of that, a shoot is going to come back, and he's going to make out of us what he intended. It's not over. You see what I'm saying? And so that's what, so you see this, and he's telling these people this beforehand, that this shoot's going to come out of this stump of Jesse, and now we can see what that is. And as we read on, now I don't have an overhead for this, but you can follow along if you'd like the next two or three verses. So now we see that this shoot's going to come up, and this is Jesus. So that automatically means hope, right? That automatically means hope. It automatically means it's not over. You know, the fullness of what God intended is going to come from that shoot. I'll give you a wonderful example. If you could look at our dumpster, go by the dumpster, there's a tree in the middle of the parking lot right in front of it, okay? Well, something happened, somebody ran over it or somebody pulled it down or anything, and so it broke off and just stumped there. And so I went out there and hauled the stuff off, and I was going to saw it off, and in the stuff there was just a branch. I thought, well, I'm going to take care of that branch. And so I cleaned the stuff around it, and it'd get bigger, and I put a stick beside it so it'd get bigger. It's a full-grown tree, almost as big as the other tree. Almost as big as the other. And there was just one branch come. So anyway, look at the dumpster. First tree on this side. That's That's our branch. That's just a little branch. Now it's a full-grown tree. Well, this is what it's talking about. So they fully knew what they're talking about. So here we have the picture, and we say, wow, okay, this is a shoot of Jesse. Now listen. Now we're going to listen with understanding of the next few verses that's going to tell us about this shoot from Jesse. And as we know, it's going to tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, 800 years before he was born. Listen closely. Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Who's him? The shoot, the branch. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the branch. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight, this branch's delight, shall be in the fear of the Lord. And this branch shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. That's what Jesus is going to do. That's what we see in Isaiah 800 years before. And then, so, and all us, all Christians say, that's what Jesus did. That was his ministry. Amen? Do we have an amen? That was Jesus' ministry now? We know that's exactly what Jesus did. He told us 800 years before he was born. And it's like, and if Jesus would come, and what he would do when he would speak of himself, he would speak of Old Testament scripture, including his death. And so you see the picture with all the, it's like, oh my gosh, we see all the puzzle pieces together. Now we understand Isaiah way better. Amen? So that should be encouraging to us. Therefore, if that is true, and we believe it is because it's already happened and we've seen it, and we wouldn't have trusted Christ as our Savior if we didn't believe it, so we see the truth of the puzzle, then therefore, the next verses are also true. Amen? I got a couple of eye rolls on that. Okay, where are you going? Where are you going with this? Well, I mean, if that's true, if he keeps talking, what else he says is also true. Well, I want you to hear what he says too. Now, we have full revelation of what's going to happen now. But now, what is he telling us? What is he telling us in Isaiah? Next verse. Isaiah 11, 4b, the second part of, and it says this. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips, he shall kill the wicked. Okay. All his ministry is true, and what he's saying in the church, and we understand he's bringing his people in, but he is also, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to do that. And the Jewish people would look at this part of this verse and say, yeah, this Messiah is going to come, and he's going to destroy the Romans. He's going to present the world to us. That's what he's going to do. What did they leave out? Virgin birth and the ministry. That's what they left out. They just jumped to that. They're right, it's going to happen. But these other things, God told us, no, this is going to happen first. He's going to have this ministry first. But he's going to return, that we see later, and he's going to strike the earth with the rod. And again, think, with the rod of his mouth. Now, what that means is, everything he said is going to come true. And all he's going to do is speak it. All he's going to do is speak it. And that's what this is saying. And with the breath of his lips, he's going to kill the wicked. It's just like, whew, they're gone. You know, that's what he's going to do. And it's coming. Now, we see in the book of Revelations, that's exactly what he's coming. And if anybody can remember, I was like kind of make you think sometimes. And there's something coming out of Jesus' mouth when he returns. Anybody know what it is? Sword. Why? I mean, that's a bad picture. I mean, Jesus and the sword, because it's his verse. He's going to strike with the words of his mouth, the sword. And all he's got to do, and this is something we put our arms around, all he's got to do is say it. Well, how would he do? You know, I don't know how you'd organize this. I don't know how. You know, all he's got to do is say it. Now, think back. The creation of the worlds, based on the Bible, how did God do that? He said it. See, he said it. See, we have our, we have a miscomprehension about how God works and what he's going to do. He just has to say it. Has to say it. You know, when we pray in our situation, oh, God, you think about it, all he's got to do is say it. Say it. We're trying to put together all the dots and crosses, the T's and dot the I's and stuff. And he just got to say it. Now, okay, so he just gives us a picture. So we want to know that Jesus returns. He's going to destroy all witnesses, and it's confirmed all through the New Testament. And so our encouragement is we need to focus on Jesus because we know he's returning. Is he going to come back to destroy us? No, that's not why he's coming back. And he's going to take care of the problems. We want to get this certain party in, and we'll solve our problems, you know. It's not going to be solved until he returns, and he's going to solve them. He's going to solve them. Now, you should vote and do the best thing. You do what you can. That's talking about going through the finish line, doing what God said. But ultimately, he's going to take care of it. So we see this. So we're encouraged to focus on Jesus and run the race set before us. We do our thing. Okay, what God has told us, we move forward doing what God has told us, and he will speak the word and have happen what he wants to happen. If something we're doing needs clarified, he will clarify it. Okay, so, but we move based on what we know and what he has spoken to us. Now, so when we see all this, this is what's going to happen. So that helps us to run the race. We see what's happening and go to the finish line because we know he's going to take care of everything. But we focus on what he's shown us. Amen? Okay. Now, we agree the previous verses were true. We believe that verse is true. What about the next verse? What about the next verses? Will they be true? Now, we got the whole piece now. Remember, we got the Bible. We got the whole piece. Well, then we're going to get another piece, and God will show us. No, we have all the pieces. He said, no, you look. I'll show you. I'll tell you. All the pieces are there. And again, just because we don't understand them doesn't mean they're not there. All right? Any of you read the Bible? You know, I'll read the Bible, and I've been through it a few times, and I'll read through it again. I think, gosh, it's like I never even saw this. Where did this come from? I've got a new edition or something. They added these extra verses I never saw before in my life, you know. No, God reveals stuff, and he teaches me, and every time I go through it, he teaches me more and more and more. But I got the whole thing that I need to have. So that's what we have with the scriptures. So we have this truth of history, we see. We're going to have this truth of the future, which we see, which the New Testament clearly talks about, the Old Testament clearly. Jesus is coming back. He's going to do away with wicked and do away the things of this earth and reestablish it. Okay. Now, we believe that's true. Do we believe what he says next is true? Yes. Isaiah 11:6. Now, this is all in context. I'm not running all over the Bible to pull these verses out. This is a nice flow of context here. Then he says this. He's destroyed all the wicked and all the evil of this earth. Then he says this. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. Is that true? That's what he's going to do. That's what he is going to do. So as we're in this race, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is not, verse 6, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, it's not working for me right now. All right, it's not working here. But he said, no, you in the race, you continue to do what you, and the finish line is there. And when that finish line comes, that's when this happens. You got to hold the truth you have and proceed to the truth I'm showing you and know that the truth is I've got this and I'm taking care of all the rest of this. See? And it's funny, you think people get wrapped around the axle about all sorts, like the environment, they get wrapped around the axle about this and stuff and just get all frustrated. And by the way, those are true things and we should do the best we can because that's what the Bible tells us to do. But who's going to fix it? It's Jesus. So we're not upset. We do what we can, but we're not upset because the only one who's going to fix it is Jesus. He's telling us. And it's almost, now these are my words, it's almost like the reestablishment of paradise in the very beginning. See, he created all things. See, all this was happening when he created earth. See, they didn't even eat meat. They didn't even eat any sort of meat, until after the time of Noah. See what? So you said, well, gosh, you see all this stuff? He goes, no, everything's out of whack. All living beings are out of whack. The whole world's out of whack. And even the New Testament tells us that. The New Testament says the earth groans for the Savior. It tells us also, but it says the earth is groaning for the Savior. Because the earth is under a curse. It's under a curse. And God, Jesus says, I'm going to fix it. And it's going to look something like this. This is what it's going to look like. See, so we're in this race now that's hard and difficult. I mean, we have some marathon runners in here or back there, Think of it. I have never had the least desire to run a marathon. Nothing. Because I'm going to run a marathon. I said, give high five. I mean, it's just like, I'm going to go outside and run 25 miles. I mean, it's like, no. I get in the car to drive 25 miles. My goodness. But people, they run a marathon. Well, when you get that marathon, they'll show pictures at the end of it. These people aren't, skipping around, throwing roses all over their shoulder. They come up to that finish line. I mean, they look like death warmed over. I mean, if they come across that, some of them just fall flat on their face, and they drag them over the side, and I'm thinking, whoopee. Now, again, this is just me. This is just me. Hallelujah that all of you are much better shaped to even make that attempt. But the point of it is, at the end, at that finish line, you're in a world of hurt, okay? Your chest hurts, your arms hurt, your leg hurts, and you're coming to that finish line. And what keeps you going? The finish line. That's why you go, because of the finish line. Well, God is, that's what he's saying here. This is the finish line. Where you are right now is not the finish. God has forgiven me. My sins are forgiven. It's not the finish line. That just means we're in the race. Right? We're in the race. That's all that means. And so you're going, God, I'm tired. I'm just tired. And he says, look at the finish line. Look at the finish line. So it's important to see that he's saying that this is the finish line. And so, two, I want us to look at this and think about it. In context, I believe that these are facts of actually what's going to happen. I think it's just fully literal, and I don't believe it's some kind of metaphor. Because I've read people, no, that's just metaphor that things are going to be good. Well, you don't need a metaphor that things are going to be good. I think, and everything that's happened that we've read in the whole chapter of Isaiah is facts. And every single fact has come to pass is facts. And I think this is a continual effect. It's going to look like this. Everything's changing. It's not that way now. But when we see that, and he's telling us that, so when we see the finish line, that we don't give up in the race. We're in that marathon. Am I right, 25 miles? Oh, man. See, I wouldn't have made the finish line. I'm 25. I'm done. You're going to throw another mile in there on it? Good grief. Anyway, but the point of it is, why you hit the 25-mile mark? Because the finish line's 26.2. Gosh. And so you keep moving because that's the finish line. But it also represents how tired we can get right now. We're tired right now. But because we see the finish line, we can persevere in what God is telling us to do. Amen? How'd you like to get to go 25 miles? You're going down, and you only have that 1.2 miles to go, and they say, you're in the wrong race. What? what are you talking about? I'm in the wrong race. And, no, that was next week, So anyway, it's like what we're doing. God is telling us so that we have an understanding, of where we are and where we're going, the truth of what God says. Now, what I want to do here, just kind of wrap it up, You know, because we could say, well, so what? You know, here's, you know, this is what's going to happen, and have this picture of Messiah. Again, these verses in Isaiah chapter 11 are clearly prophetic, clearly have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, clearly have to do with his return. How do we know that? We have all the puzzle pieces. See, so we know that. And he told us. So what we need to do is understand that as we understand these facts and believe these facts, we are encouraged to give our best effort all the way to the finish line. That's it. He's telling, please, give your best effort all the way to the finish line. I'm showing you what the finish line is. Give your best effort all the way to the finish line. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:24. Here's Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you know that in a race, all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Now, of course, this has nothing to do with salvation, but what it has to do is the celebration at the finish line. It's all about the celebration. And we know that a multitude of people cross the finish line. That's what it's talking about. But he's making us individually look at that. Who wins? You don't give the prize to everybody that shows up for the race. You give the prize to the ones who finish the race. Who finish the race. So run that you may obtain it. So he is definitely talking about us passionately doing and serving God with everything we have now in the race God has given us. And by the way, we've all been given different kinds of races. See, that's the body of Christ working in different ways, as the Lord Jesus tells us. But so he wants us to finish the race. And so Paul, again, we see with Paul that since he had a full understanding of this, he had a full understanding of these truths. And here's what he stated at the very end of his life. Very end of his life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Here's what he says. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. See it? He succeeded. He succeeded. And that's what he's laid before. So you finish the race. And so it helps us to look at that as we go through difficult times and God's teaching us or using us and things around us. We know we're letting him take care of things around us, doing what we're called to do, focusing our eyes upon him. And when we get so tired we want to quit, we know that finish line is right there and we're not going to quit. We're going to keep going. We're going to give it our all to do what the Lord tells us in carrying out the ministry he has given us. And at the end of our life, we won't say, you know, fought the good fight, I finished the race, I kept the faith. But you can't say that unless your eyes are totally focused on Jesus. You can't do it unless they're totally focused on Jesus. So, here we have, we just put this together, we got all the pieces, we're in the race, and like, okay, I'm going to finish this thing. There is a finish line. I'm going to finish. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to finish. I'm going to stay. Now, and I understand what's happening in the race. So Paul says something else, which, you know, we should take to heart. And he basically says this. If you don't believe these biblical truths, you know, some people, you hold it. Okay, it's good, nice book, good literature about some of it. I believe I'm going to heaven. The rest of it, I don't know. You know what I mean? Something like that. Paul said, if we don't believe these biblical truths and are committed to them, he makes a statement. This is in 1 Corinthians 15. He says this, if you don't believe this, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. I mean, he says it. I mean, isn't that what he says? If you don't believe this, if we don't believe this, he says, it's it. It's it. Just eat, drink, for tomorrow you die. Don't worry about it. But if we believe the biblical truth, we do something different. We do something different because of what we believe, what we believe. Now, so as we look at this and we think about it, you know, and certainly here when Paul said this, he's actually talking specifically about the biblical truth of the resurrection if you didn't believe in the resurrection. But if you don't believe the things of the Scripture, it's, you don't, you know. Don't run the race. You go eat, drink, be married. The more you die, that's your life. You know, making it clear, it's your choice. So here we are. We look at this and we think about it. And so all of us is encouragement. Okay, no, we're in this race. God has a purpose for us individually, for the people we influence, and for what He has us in the future. And He has a celebration at the end for us. There is a celebration for us at the end. Amen. Now, me, in my marathon, halfway through would be 13.1. How is that? I mapped it. Anyway, see, I'd want the party 13.1. Just, you know, this last 13, you know, give me a scooter. I mean, come on, God, that's enough of this. Enough of this, you know. But it's like, no, if there's a vision of the finish line, no, you keep going. Keep going because you have a good vision of the finish line. You have a purpose there. So that impacts us. And here's something very important we have to think about. Our belief dictates our behavior. Here, write that down someplace. Our belief dictates our behavior. What do we believe? So, as we think about that, run the race. But in running the race, the first thing we have to do is start the race. Okay, the first thing you got to do is start the race. And, coach, we know where that is. That's where it is. When you talk to people, and again, you talk to people who don't know Jesus, don't tell them to persevere in the race. No, you want to help them to start the race. Start the race. Okay, if they don't know Jesus, that's all. That's the only message we have, is start the race. And it's here. Here's how you start the race. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, that's how you start the race. And then in this earth, we move forward. And the Bible, you know, there's a verse, you know, I'm sure it's nobody's memory verse. It says, in this world, you'll have tribulation. You know, it's like that. It means it's going to hurt in that race before you get to the end. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. Okay, but you keep going, finish the race, and God's going to do great things. And everything He's taking care of. But right now, we need to cooperate with Him and participate in what He's showing us to do. So, hallelujah, we finished the race. Know what race you're in, okay? And if people don't know what race they're in, John 3:16, so they can start the race. Start the race. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your love. And Lord, just to, it is just awe-inspiring to know that through the Bible, You have revealed everything we need to know about You, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about our lives, about heaven and earth, and then our relationship with You. It's overwhelming, Lord, and You continue to speak to us through the Word, speak to us through Your Holy Spirit. You are our teacher. You're picking us up wherever we are. We trip and we fall down. You just get up and we move forward to the finish line. We never quit because we trust in You. And so, God, I just thank You for that. And as we lay all things at Your feet, and Lord, I just pray that each person here would be encouraged, that what a unique place they have within Your kingdom, what a unique place they have in the purposes You have for them, and what a unique place they have with the gifts You've given them as they step forward in being obedient to You through the Word every step of the way. And I think one of the things of being obedient to You is reading the Word. Reading the Word to understand the race. So we just thank You for that. God, we thank You that You come to know You. We thank You that we're Your servants. And so, God, we give all things to You and trust You're doing a mighty work in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.